This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette has some complex legal hurdles to jump in his lawsuit against a water company and an engineering company and their parent companies. The suit alleges that Veolia North America and LAN badly botched the work they were hired to do on Flint's water system. Wayne State University law professor and former federal prosecutor Peter Henning is here with us now to walk us through the lawsuit. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you, Cindy.
So just so everybody's on the same page, these are civil suits and not criminal cases.
That's correct. Criminal charges have been filed so far against three defendants, one of whom is cooperating. But this is a civil damages lawsuit against the two engineering firms, essentially claiming that they failed to take the proper steps and, in fact, created a public nuisance. So it's just trying to get money back that can go to the state and then eventually to the citizens in Flint.
And when we talk about money, I've got to imagine that Attorney General Schuette is hoping to collect big money.
Certainly, that would be the expectation. I mean, the numbers that have been thrown around regarding what it's going to cost to repair the water in Flint and in the houses, and then also the public health issues, we're talking billions of dollars. Now, are they going to get that from these firms? I think that's unlikely, but certainly Schuette's looking for some type of major payment that can go to addressing this issue.
So what are the main legal hurdles, Peter, that the Attorney General is going to have to jump over to be successful here?
The first one, and the key in any kind of lawsuit, is proving that the action or the failure to act caused the damages. And so here they're going to be pointing to the two firms saying that you essentially built a building that collapsed, and it was your failure to act professionally that resulted in the harm. Everyone can see what the harm is. The problem, of course, is trying to trace that out. Who is ultimately going to be held responsible? The firms are pointing the finger at the state of Michigan, specifically the MDEQ, saying, look, they're the ones who were responsible. They told us not to treat the water, and we followed orders.
Can you give us any idea, Peter, of the kind of resources needed to undertake this kind of civil suit? I guess, in other words, how much could this cost taxpayers?
The first part of it is going to be just the legal wrangling that goes on in any case. So motions will be filed. That's going to involve mainly just the lawyers. If it gets to that next phase, then you're talking about really what is described in legal circles as a battle of the experts. Each side is going to bring in experts to show that the firms were or were not negligent. And that's where the cost can run up. So we're certainly talking about, on the taxpayer side, perhaps hundreds of thousands of dollars. But the prospect is also for a multi-million dollar recovery. So, you know, at least in that sense, if they can get through the first round, it won't be all that expensive and will increase the prospects for getting at least some money back.
I'm wondering about the risk that this poses for the Attorney General. I mean, I'm wondering how good are the chances, Peter, that the AG loses and the taxpayers in Michigan are left with an even bigger bill than before for the mess in Flint?
Well, certainly that's possible. And in any civil lawsuit, there is the risk that the judge isn't going to agree with the state's legal theory. This is being brought on behalf of the people of Michigan. So you're not going to have some of the hurdles that you might in other types of lawsuits, claiming, for example, that that prove any one individual was harmed. Here, the harm is fairly easy to assess. It's again going to be that issue of causation. There's risk in every lawsuit, but I think that given the evidence that these were the engineering firms that were responsible for dealing with some of these issues, they at least have a reasonable chance of getting through the first few rounds and have at least the prospect of some recovery.
And trying to put this into kind of a larger context, are there parallel cases, perhaps from other states, that we might draw insight from in terms of the chances for success?
Well, certainly we've seen other types of large-scale harm. For example, BP in the Gulf, although at least there, it was very clear who the players were. I guess the wild card here is the state's involvement. And specifically, at least the claim, if you look at what LAN, one of the engineering firms, has claimed, they said that they were told not to treat the Flint River water. They were told by the MDEQ. Does that absolve them of liability? At least it gives them, if you will, a leg to stand on, saying we were told by our client this is what they wanted, and they, you know, we followed the orders we were given. So it's hard to draw too many parallels with that situation, just because the Flint water crisis is traceable also to failure on the part of the government.
Now, if the AG's office, Peter, is successful on these early go-rounds and there is a judgment awarded for the state, would Veolia and LAN would most certainly appeal. And I'm wondering, what kind of time frame could we be talking about? I would imagine years.
Oh, it, certainly. If this case were to go to trial, we're talking about 2018, 2019, perhaps, for a trial with appeals. You are going past 2020 into the next decade. Of course, what's behind all of this, too, though, is these firms have insurance, and the insurers are going to take a look at this at some point and say, once they can get a better idea of how the case is going to play out, how much money do we want to commit to this? Not only are the taxpayers going to be paying for this, but also these firms are going to be paying for their lawyers. And at some point, they want certainty and put a cap on their damages. So that could drive this case closer to a settlement.
Wayne State University law professor Peter Henning is a former federal prosecutor, and Peter joined us via Skype. It's always great to get your insights, Peter. Thank you so very much.
All right. Thank you, Cindy.